Almost live from a very cool corner in Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D.
And Becca.
Now, push your earbuds in a little deeper. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. If you're listening today, I'd like to take a moment to apologize for the last show that we did, because it was odd. I'm going to go ahead and say it was odd. And if you were offended in any way, if you're a radio programmer who wanted to have our show on but were offended by the use of the words cock and balls.
Big homo?
Big homo dads. People can't hear the headphones, so...
You can't blame the cats this time.
Can everybody else hear theirs? Oh, wait, yeah. I'm back now a little bit. It's a little bit quiet.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there before.
I can hear. Who can't hear? Say if you can't hear.
I can.
Quietly. You can hear now, Becca?
This is riveting radio.
I know.
Should we start over?
No, fuck it.
I'm not going to say cock and balls.
Oh, well, good. Thank God.
Yeah. Now I can't hear again, but I don't care.
There's nothing to hear. It's just us talking.
Because I can hear all you guys in actual real life.
That's true.
But that's not nearly as sexy as a radio voice.
It is. It's not the same. The voice you're hearing that you might not recognize, it's Keith Lowell Jensen.
That's me.
Atheist comedian.
Yay!
Or is it comedian/atheist?
It depends. I actually play the role of atheist comedian quite frequently when I go do atheist conventions or on the Coexist tour. But if you go see me just at a club, then I'm a comedian who happens to be an atheist. So I guess I'm both.
So it's whatever you need to be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
But I'm atheist comedian more and more often these days, it seems.
Yeah. Well, if that's what gets you work, that's what gets you work.
I'm not going to say no to it.
So let's have you just get a little closer to your mic there. Just right
okay.
up on it. There you go. Much better.
You really got to get in there, huh?
Yeah, on that one you do. So
all right.
Really explore.
That's why we wear headphones. That's really the only reason. And we pretend like we're in radio. Coming up on the show this week, we're going to talk to Keith.
Yay.
We're going to talk to a cop who loves his work just a little too much, or
That's
talk
not
about
me.
Him. It's no. No. You've ever heard the expression, I'll put a foot in your ass? Well, that actually happened, and then bad things happen.
Ugh.
And the president getting in trouble for handing out compliments of sorts. So we'll talk about all those things.
We're going to get scrappy on that story.
I know. That's why it's in there.
I know.
First off, we have a guest. He's as just introduced, Keith Lowell Jensen. Why going with the three names? Why not just Keith Jensen?
Go ahead and Google Keith Jensen, and you will see why. There's just too many of them.
Ted, go ahead and Google him.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it's not. I realized as I said that, it sounds like there's going to be something interesting, like there was some cool serial killer named Keith Jensen or something, but there isn't. It's just that it's a very common name. It's a super common Danish name. Jensen is, and there's
right.
a lot of. I actually went on Facebook and I added every other Keith Jensen I could find, and it was hundreds and hundreds.
Oh my God!
And a lot of them added me back, and some of them I'm even friends with. Still.
I should introduce you to my first wife, who
her name was Keith Jensen.
No,
Nate,
awkward.
That's very weird.
In the '90s, the late '90s, in the infancy of the internet, when Yahoo groups were all the thing, she joined her first name was Wendy. She joined a group of other Wendy's who held the commonality that they had the first name Wendy. That was it. That was
that's ridiculous. Did you know?
At Burning Man they have a Sarah party.
Okay.
And I always wanted to show up with Sarah tattooed on my chest with the H in parentheses.
Okay.
Oh. Just I thought that'd be so ridiculous.
Well, do they have factions in that party? Is it like Sarah with an H versus Sarah without an
I don't
H?
Know. Like I always hoped that they'd get in like a big fight and there'd be a schism.
And then a small group of people who are like, it's pronounced Sada.
Oh my God. The Undertaker.
I've never wanted to go to Burning Man before this moment to test this, by the way.
The Undertaker, no, the wrestler, not the guy who embalms people, his first wife's name was Sarah, and he had it tattooed on the front of his throat.
Nice.
And then he got divorced, so now he does not have it tattooed on the front
now
of his throat.
Now it says
throat.
Wino, right?
It's erased.
It? Anybody? Who's
I get
me?
It. I get right. it.
I don't get it.
I didn't get it.
I'll Google it though.
Johnny Depp. Yeah, he's
Winona
Forever. Now it says Wino Forever.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
Look, if you can't keep up with the '90s happenings of cult-like stars, we can't help you.
Hey! Oh, it turns out I'm that guy.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
The first Keith Jensen on the internet is Keith Jensen basketball player.
Right. See, it's not me.
You're not a basketball.
What? That's crazy.
But the first Keith Lowell Jensen on there is me.
Who? Why is this
Are
guy
you friends with Jensen Button? Just kidding. I have nothing to do with last name.
You should join a group of people with Jensen in their
just
name. Not last name, first name, whatever.
Just Jensen.
What's funny is somebody accidentally called me, another podcast accidentally called me Jensen with an O-N.
Oh, no.
And the first person to complain, and complain like really bitterly, was a Danish person.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Because they're known for their horrible tempers.
Well, no, because Jensen is Danish. Owen, I think, is Swedish or Norwegian or some crap like that.
Those Scandinavians don't all love each other. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Get some.
They're like the Sarahs of... No? Yeah. Okay.
Scandinavians,
Finland is the Sara, I think.
Scandinavian people have rivalries and don't get along, but it's sort of a sibling thing. If any outsiders mess with us, then we all of a sudden have each other's backs.
I get that.
Is it like Northern California and Southern California?
No, we hate them pretty much all the time.
Okay. I'm from Vermont. I don't know.
Yeah, if somebody from Vermont makes fun of Southern California, we're like, yeah, that's right. Screw them.
Yeah, eat it, Southern California.
Now, where in Vermont
Sucks
are you from?
Bitches. Oh.
Hey, could everybody talk? Becca, you didn't talk at that same time. Could we all try that at once? No, I'm sorry. Keith, what were you saying?
My wife lived in Johnson and in Burlington. I was wondering where in Vermont are you from, since that's the only two cities there.
I am and Johnson's not really a city.
Right.
I'm from a little town called Barton, Vermont, which is a 45-minute drive if you drive like a local from there to Johnson.
So about 5 minutes if you drive like a human being.
No. If you drive like a local, you're doing about 75 in a 50.
Oh, really?
You guys
go fast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just know that when I got there... We pulled up, and all of my cultural red flags went off because I just saw a bunch of bearded bubbas, and I was afraid. And then I opened the door to my Volkswagen bus, and they were playing Dr. Dre and all drinking really good microbrewed beer.
Mm-hmm.
and it was before the hipster thing, like plaid shirts and beards at that time here would have meant big redneck who wouldn't like me. So I guess hipsterism doesn't start in L.A. or New York. It started right there in Vermont because this was early 90s, and those bubbas had it down.
Well, maybe they were trying to be grunge but weren't quite getting it right.
Could have been, yeah. All I know is they look scary as hell.
But yeah, I took a summer class at Johnson State College, so I know exactly how long it took to get from A to B. And we watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is important in higher education if you're learning about psychology.
Great movie.
Intro to Psychology. We're going to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Nice.
Let's do that. So you've got an album coming out, Keith, or
no,
is it out now? Is it out now? Okay.
Do you notice the lack of a mustache on my face?
Well, I haven't seen you in a while.
Oh, well, I agree this mustache, Nate. Let me tell you all about it.
I remember the mustache.
Everybody hated it. And so I promised everyone that for every one day that my album charted on Amazon or iTunes in the top 10, I would take my mustache off for a whole month. So I'm without it for 3 months.
Nice.
Thanks to Amazon. Yeah, I was number one for a day, and then I think number three or four for the next 2 days.
So your new album, Elf Orgy, is available on Amazon. Ted, if you were going to buy that on Amazon, how would you do it?
Well, Nate, let me tell you. I'd first go to the Nate Darling website, and then I would click on a link to Amazon.com, because it doesn't cost you any more to use that link, but all the proceeds go to us, and we need money.
Not all the proceeds.
So we can pay people like Keith Lowell-Jensen to come onto our show.
That's fantastic. I'm getting paid.
No. not at all.
But we could, hypothetically.
It was almost right. We get a small percentage. So Amazon gets less, and we get a little bit. So it's really sticking it to the man when you do it that way.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
And they're able to manage. Sorry, I'm going to do some Amazon bashing. They're able to manage that complex system, and they're like, "Oh, paying state taxes would be too complicated."
See, and this is why we're friends. This is why we.
God, I was so mad at Amazon for all that. What a,
me too.
You mean where you're ranked?
I mean, they're competing with brick and mortar stores who have not only the complexity of having to pay state taxes, but they have to build a building.
It's true.
You know?
So you're ranked on Amazon. Your album is ranked on Amazon. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, it was number one.
That's awesome, on Amazon.
Yeah, for cool. In my category.
Okay.
He
wasn't beating out
word,
Bieber.
Poetry, comedy.
What keeps,
beat out some poets.
What keeps the mustache gone forever? Like a Grammy? With that?
No, I think if anybody
if
really
had a Grammy,
wants it gone forever, they'd have to appeal to my wife.
Because
if she
like
wasn't going to kiss me anymore if I had it, then I probably wouldn't have it. But she's fine with it.
Well, she is from Vermont. So.
Exactly. She's just,
it's not uncommon.
She likes when I grow the full beard, but I can't keep that because it's itchy.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
It is.
I'm going to play one of the short tracks from your album Elf Orgy. Ooh. It's called Anti-Feminist Sandwiches. So let's or sandwiches. I like saying sandwiches.
I should have titled it sandwiches. I was in a hurry.
Yeah. Fair. So let's take a listen.
I passed a woman on the way out of the park that amazed me. She's a businesswoman standing there talking on her cell phone. And she said the following. I don't like feminism. I don't like feminism, and I will vote against it every time. Really? Shit, I didn't even know it was on the ballot. Wild. But what are you going to do against it? What hard, fought for, and died for act of political will are you going to commit against feminism? You're going to vote against feminism. You don't understand? That makes no sense at all. As a woman, you can't vote against feminism. There's a conflict there. Listen, what you can do if you really want to fight this horrible thing called feminism, stay home in your kitchen against feminism. That'll show up. Now, I'm a pretty progressive guy, but if you want to make me a sandwich against feminism, I'll eat it. I'll help you out. Make sure it's vegan. Yeah.
So that's one of the shorter tracks. So I wanted to get that in.
What's funny is that's one of the only places where I mention that I'm vegan, and it's not a major component of the joke or anything else. It's just in passing. And somebody, one of the reviews I got on Amazon said, now there are competing vegan comedians.
Oh, no.
And she said that I pretty much just like do a quick joke and then preach, and then do a quick joke and preach. And I don't mind a bad review, but I read that and I was like, what? Like, first off, I mentioned I'm vegan. Like, I think that might be the only time, maybe this one other. And no, there aren't competing vegans. There's several vegan or comedians who might happen to be vegan, but I'm not the vegan comedian. Like, like, it's the weirdest thing. You know, I mean, it's becoming a more common diet. It makes sense that there might be more people who adhere to it. I don't know. Reviews are weird because anyone can make them. You know what I mean? And some people are crazy.
Yeah, it's just like podcasts. Anybody can make one.
Right. And anybody can criticize them. I'm sure you guys get some weird stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think Nate Darling's very darling at all.
you know,
and Ted Cox? Why, I bet he has only one.
Ted Cox?
Cox sounds like the plural.
But that's not Ted Cox.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Ted Sampson,
Cox is
everyone.
A journalist.
Oh, yeah.
But thanks
that's
for...
Ted Sampson.
It's all right. Yeah. But it made sense. But if I knew
I had no sense at all. Why did my brain do that? Yesterday, I ran into my friend from Australia, and I realized that in my brain over the 2 years since I'd seen him, I had created a composite person of him and my other Australian friend and my friend from New Zealand. And I ran into Chris, and I have memories of Chris getting a tarantula on his hand, which was Nick. And I kept calling him the Kiwi, and he's all, why are you calling me that? I'm from Australia.
Oh.
Yeah, my brain is bad. Yeah, I can stand on stage and tell jokes. That's about it.
Do you think it's because you need more protein?
Sorry, Mr. Sampson.
That's okay. Yeah. Mr. Gent with an O.
That's a good
question. See what I did there?
That is a good question. Christiana, what was the question you had?
I said, do you think it's because you need more protein? Just kidding.
Ah, that was actually a good one.
Never heard it before.
No, sure. I actually have a small brain tumor. I'm glad that we have a chance to talk about it. Is that like really wrong to say something that's not true like that?
Oh, great. Now we have competing comedians with brain tumors.
That's terrible.
Really?
Who's the other one?
You know, I
don't know.
I have actually interviewed he's not a stand-up comedian, but Bald Brian from the Adam Carolla Show does have a brain tumor, and I have interviewed him on the podcast. So we do bring it back around.
Can I just say that Ellen DeGeneres is a vegan? She's the other one.
You can say it all you like.
I think the other one that they were thinking of is Jamie Kilstein, who's very outspoken about being a vegan.
Mm. Oh, I'm just reading the first part of this list. Ellen, Steve Martin, Weird Al, and Mick Kaplan?
Is that why Ellen's doing
Oh, Mike Kaplan.
Oh, he spelled his name wrong, so it's
yeah,
Mick
now. Yeah, he spells his name very unusual. But it could be, Kaplan could have been who they were talking about, too. I hadn't thought about that.
And there's Dick Gregory, Sarah Silverman, Russell Brand. No, who the hell cares? Is that?
Well, Dick Gregory is more than vegan.
Yeah.
Dick Gregory has had spouts of claiming breatharianism.
Yeah. What is that?
He claimed he could live off of air.
Oh, like a yogi in India. Like, yeah. There's always a couple of people that they're like, that person hasn't eaten in like 25 years, and they live off of sunbeams and like magic ash.
One time, a friend of mine was all taken and impressed with the guy that's the milk baba, and he's lived off nothing but milk for 20 years. And I was like, I wouldn't want to use the bathroom after.
No, that'd be bad.
You could probably do that more than air.
Yeah,
you know,
more than air.
In a pinch.
My next album will be called More Than Air.
Well, Dick Gregory is an interesting cat. I mean, he's got a long history in the civil rights movement, and
oh, he's amazing.
He's really at one moment incredible, and another moment like, what the
insane.
Fuck are you thinking, yeah. dude? It's just craziness.
I have something I call my Dick Gregory rule.
Okay, do tell.
If you're going to make fun of other people, make fun of yourself first.
Okay.
And it makes it work better. It makes them more receptive. And that's something that Dick Gregory said when they asked, how is it that you're going in front of mostly white audiences and making fun of them at a time when that wasn't done? And he said, because I always make fun of and laugh at myself first.
Ooh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
Dude's brilliant. I mean, there's no questioning that. He's just a little, I mean, if you read anything up on Dick Gregory, and why would you?
I don't know who that is. I'm going to have to read up
on it. I highly recommend a book called Rebel Comedians of the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the comedians that they profile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic book.
I'm just picturing comedians on motorcycles.
Great. Now there's more than one Rebel Comedian of the 50s and 60s.
There's a whole series of them.
The wars.
Did you guys know that Tommy Smothers once got punched out at the Playboy Mansion by Bill Cosby?
I did not.
It's in that book, and they interview both of them, and both of them tell the story pretty much the same.
That's awesome.
No, yeah. I want to know what
happened. Now I will definitely.
Yeah, it's a great book. I really highly recommend it.
I bet it's on Amazon, and you should go to the Nate Darling Show website, natedarlingshow.com. Click the Shop Amazon tab to get it. It's the way I do it.
Along with Elf Orgy by Keith Lowell Jensen.
Mm-hmm. The two go really well together. And if you're not going to pay your taxes in California, Amazon, you might as well give a little money to the Nate Darling Show.
Well,
They do now.
Yeah, I get you, if you buy something on Amazon, they charge sales tax. Yeah.
No, but they
collect it. They don't charge.
But didn't they cut off a lot of their local retailers because they said it would be too complicated?
For a while they did, but there was a broker deal, and they're back to being slightly less as bad as you can continue to think.
Oh,
they
well,
are.
Good for them.
Yeah, they
still were dicks about it though, which I think deserves to be pointed out in all terms.
And they are in fact opening a big processing, shipping, warehouse, plant type deal in Patterson.
I feel like we're giving a mixed message to our listeners about bashing Amazon and telling them to shop through it.
I know, like, I deal with it all the time. I'm like, please go buy my CD from Amazon. They're awful.
Here's the deal.
And then go download it from iTunes. They suck too.
It's like if you're super religious and you're against premarital sex, but you go ahead and give the kids condoms anyway, right? Like, we know you're going to shop at Amazon.
No, no.
When you do, just do it safely and do it through NateDarlingShow.com.
So that we profit from it.
Listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You'd be better off coming to Nate Darling's house and buying his CDs from him. He usually has a few out on the stoop for sale.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how we roll the podcast.
We have a hobo who does
but
it for
us. If you no can't hobo. Do that, you have to go through Amazon. Here's the thing. They just found out there's actually a loophole, and sex with a condom, as far as biblical law, isn't considered sex at all because there's no actual genital contact, and that's what the church has been afraid of the kids finding out. So you can have sex with a condom. I'm making all this up, by the way, Becca.
No.
You're very perplexed. You can have sex with a condom and then still be a virgin on your wedding night, and the church doesn't want you to know that. So kids, fuck away. Just wear a condom.
Mm-hmm.
This message brought to you by Keith Lowell Jensen. They don't let me talk to children, by the way.
That's why you had to have your own.
Right.
He made his own because he wasn't allowed to talk to other children.
And you are not allowed to talk to her, Nate, darling.
Okay. I can live with that. Speaking of we'll go right ahead with the show now. We've been mentioning Scandinavia and all of those places. Norway.
Yes, way.
They've the dumb. Schools there have caved into pressure and canceled or rescheduled midterms because of the Justin Bieber tour.
Oh, kill them all.
Legit to quit. That's not the same singer, but for some reason that's what came to mind.
Not like, at all.
That's MC Hammer, actually. Yeah.
It
or
is
Hammer.
I do know.
Not the same decades. Either.
No. Or
anything.
Race, height.
Yeah.
They're both men.
But probably close to the same sartorial choices.
In fact, I don't even know how popular MC Hammer is in Norway.
I feel like we got off topic.
Probably like huge.
Now, wait a minute. Is it Norway where like 80% of the population considers himself heavy metal fans?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, Norwegian death metal. Yeah. Google boy, can you please look up Norway?
Oh, my
and
God. Who the hell cares?
You wonder why I have that, and that's exactly why. Anyway, five different Norwegian schools have
Justin Bieber fans?
Have rescheduled midterms so as not to conflict with his upcoming Believe tour. Five schools moved their midterms up a week to allow students to go to the concert, and Norway's Ministry of Education and Research announced, quote, "I am concerned that students should be concentrating when they take tests in midterms."
Is that your accent?
I don't.
Why
I don't,
didn't they ask Bieber to move the date? You know, this brings up a
because
painful,
he's busy. He's busy, Christiana.
This brings
he's
up
busy.
Painful memories for me because on October 25th, 1989, I think, Debbie Gibson had a concert in L.A. and all of my friends went, but I wasn't allowed to because it was a school night. Where was the Norwegian Minister of Education then?
Listening to death metal.
You know, it really wouldn't matter because I'm pretty sure your mother would have told the Minister of Education to go pound sand.
Why can't the stars do it on a weekend?
It's a school night.
That's what I'm saying. They should play to their audience. God damn it.
If anyone listening is thinking of being on this podcast in the future and you're allergic to cats,
oh dear,
bring some Sudafed.
It's the wind. I'm sure it's the pollen outside.
No, I've been fine outside.
Oh, yeah, when I moved them into the other room, but they were out here earlier. So Justin tweeted, "Love this. Schools in Norway move midterms so students can attend Justin Bieber concert." And then he put the link up from foxnews.com.
You're a douche, Bieber.
So Bieber is pushing foxnews.com.
I'm like a golden god.
Screw that guy.
He's Canadian, isn't he?
He is. Yes. He is. Madonna, she's being blasted by the Malawi president. Who I didn't
that
know.
That sounds dirty.
Who's a woman?
She is.
Which is awesome.
What a backwards country. Nate wanted me to be more sexist, so I'm working on it.
That's fantastic.
I think it also makes me a first world asshole that my thought is like, even Malawi can elect a woman president, but we can't, which makes me terrible and like Zeno something and not good. But
Xenofeminist.
You go, girl.
Xenofeminist.
Let me explain this to you. There's more women than men. There could be a woman president. All you have to do is all vote for her.
This is true.
So there you go.
You're right.
Clinton and something.
Next. Anyway, Joyce Banda hit out as Madonna visited the African state. Madonna set up the Raising Malawi after adopting her son there in 2006 and a daughter in 2009. But Mrs. Banda, who's the president, claims the singer reneged on the pledge to build a 10 million pound academy for girls and opted to build 10 schools without consulting officials. She said, where are the 10 schools she's built? In some cases, she just renovated an already existing block.
How much did the first school weigh?
No one should come here and say, I'm building a classroom without a needs assessment. It's an insult to the people. That prompted Trevor Nielsen, who manages Madonna's charitable work, to say every single one of the schools is a freestanding structure. Why they're arguing over strip malls versus freestanding structures.
Weird.
Proving that semantics live on in Africa.
No, I kind of get it, though. Like, because I went to Success High, which was a continuation school, and if you wanted to call each freestanding structure a school, it was three schools. It was really three mobile units, but... See where that's dangerous?
Did you go to school in a trailer? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I'm saying. Success High, yeah.
I went to school in a trailer,
school.
Too.
It's school for bad kids. But no, apparently I went to three schools in trailers.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. Speaking of schools, did you guys see this chick on the Today Show? She's a high school senior.
I missed it, but I read the story, and if I were prone to violence, I would punch her in the face.
She has sparked a firestorm of anger, not just in Christiana, but all over the place. She wrote a scathing open letter to the Ivy League schools that rejected her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I'll skip ahead to the letter if I can find it here. Oh, actually, let's listen to her, because I prefer to let people tell their own story if we can. If the internet will let us.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. Piece was written, I got rejected from a bunch of schools in one day. And like any teenager, I'm sure we're like millions of teenagers that day, I was crying to my mom. And she said, I cannot hear about this anymore. Just go talk to someone else. So I called my sister and I was crying, but she was hysterically laughing.
Mom has realized that she's a pain in the ass.
Right, even your mom's tired of you.
Go write this down. So I did, and this is what came out of it. Let's see. I make fun of two moms having killer SAT scores, the diversity. It's a satire. That's the point. Just like 30 Rock is a satire. Which
yes, it's just like 30 Rock.
It's not. I literally almost minored in comedy, which in itself is a bad joke. She's wrong.
You know what?
It's not a satire.
Tina Fey rolled over in her grave when she heard that.
That's not
funny.
Oh my
god, Tina Fey's dead?
That are politically correct. That's what I was trying to do. Diversity, I think, is a wonderful thing.
Liar.
I think it's great. I think all colleges should have a holistic approach to every college applicant. I do, however, think that in this day and age, we're being judged on things that we cannot control.
God, I don't like her either. I didn't know what her letter said.
Control, as opposed to things that we can't.
She doesn't like to be judged over things she can't.
Person.
Why they put her on TV?
It's
4 hours to fill is a long time.
Have you seen the Today Show, Ted?
No.
Exactly. She has a 4.5 GPA and a SAT score of 20. Sorry.
What does that translate to in American?
That's
SAT?
Like a 15. That's like a 1500.
Oh fuck.
Oh,
for our
yeah.
Days.
Yeah, I have no idea. They've changed it. Yeah, and work experience is a U.S. Senate page. She was shunned by Princeton, Yale, Vanderbilt, and the University of Pennsylvania.
Maybe. What gets me is they say it like all on the same day. Like, no, all colleges, like it's coordinated. They all send out their shit on the same day. It pretty much hits the mailboxes on the same day. You're going to either get into everywhere on the same day or get rejected on the same day because that's what happens to everybody.
And
that's the way they do it.
If you had that great of a record and got rejected from everywhere, you probably wrote a shitty essay.
Exactly.
Or you have no extracurricular activities
exactly.
to put on your application.
Or well, they can tell that everything you did was bullshit.
Everything you do is wrong.
Everything you did.
The Nate Darling Show.
You like totally talk
cool.
Like
I'm going to turn now to the White House and President Obama.
What's going on right now?
The internet again. God damn internet.
I thought I heard my own voice for a second.
You
turn
did.
That song down.
Oh.
I think it's to do with the...
Shush, cooler tool. Why yeah. didn't we get to bitch about this girl some more? She makes me very mad.
What do you think we're going to do in cooler tool?
I'm going to bitch about her some more.
First up in cooler tool, Norway for canceling school for Justin Bieber. Keith Lowell Jensen, what say you?
Does he know the rules?
It's cool or tool.
Okay, that's the rule.
It's not that hard.
Well, I don't know. He's new here.
He went to high school in a trailer.
It's cold there. So I'm going to give it cool.
Okay. Becca, what say ye?
Tool.
Ted.
You know, I guess I'll be controversial and say it's cool because they want to make sure the kids have the fun and study for their tests. So that's how they accommodate them. Fuck Justin Bieber, though.
Gently or
however you want, Keith, however you want.
Christiana, what say ye?
I'm going to say cool because when those kids someday die, their obituaries can say they were rocket scientists and once didn't cut school to see Justin Bieber or something. Callback.
You know, I'm going to go with cool only because I think it's an innovative sort of thought process to go, you know, what would the kids want to do when dealing with school stuff? It's not like they're skipping the midterms. They're just giving them the best chance to do the best job they can. So that's where I go with that. Up next in Cooler Tool, Madonna. Ted?
I think Madonna's cool. I mean, she's innovative. She does stuff. She kissed Britney Spears.
Becca?
Well, I mean, if we're talking in relation to this story, I don't know if this is Madonna's doing or not, but I think that's a common complaint of foreign countries and NGOs is that people come in and they try to do good without really asking the country what they need. So I'm going to say tool.
Christiana.
Tool. I'm going to side with the president of Malawi because she's the president of Malawi. because what Becca said. She probably actually knows what the hell her people need.
Vegan atheist comedian Keith Lowell Jensen, what say you? Madonna, cool or tool?
I'm going to agree with Becca. If you're going to go into a community, you should talk to the leadership that's already there. I'm going to say tool.
Yeah, Madonna's a tool.
I like Madonna.
If for no other reason than that British accent. And Christiana's now voguing.
Do you guys know she's actually going to have sex with me someday?
Wow.
Madonna? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I think she's almost to the point where you're a catch for her.
Right.
Keith likes older women. This is well documented. Right. So,
well, Adam Carolla, non-atheist comedian. Actually, he is also an atheist comedian.
Yes, he is.
That's the other one.
Yeah, that's the one. He's just like Keith.
It's getting to where atheist comedian is redundant.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, you probably don't believe there is a God.
Wait, now I just in my mind substituted the vegan comedian list for the atheist. 90th comedian list.
See, now
got confused.
It's terrible, isn't it?
I don't know how to. If I can't compartmentalize, Adam Kroll
is
will
so
function?
Not a vegan.
He is not a vegan at all.
He is the evil anti-vegan.
But he
eats vegans.
He has a theory that in terms of hotness, where there is an intersecting point, and at a certain point, like one woman is way too hot for you as a guy, and at a certain point, as you age, you intersect, and then you pass each other, where the woman who was way too hot for you, you would now be a catch.
Because the whole distinguished older gentleman thing, we get hotter and hotter. But I've always liked older women, and part of what I say is if you're hot when you're like 19, so what? Who isn't?
You didn't visit Vermont when you were 19, did you?
If you're hot, but no, I imported my girl from Vermont when I was 19.
Well,
actually,
well, yes, but one one here and there does not a whole hotness make.
All her friends were hot too. I know. I went and visited them.
Mm-hmm.
Not alone. I brought her with me. I have to behave.
I went individually
here,
to
honey.
Make a check. Honey, I'm going to check to make sure your friends are hot. Finally, in cooler tool, the open letter girl. Let's make this quick, Christiana.
Rand.
Tool.
Ted.
Tool.
Becca.
Tool.
Keith.
Total tool.
I would love to say she's cool for just putting herself out there and, just laying it out there and being courageous.
She didn't even do that. She had a fucking in at the op-ed writer that she thinks she's so like, oh, everyone else is privileged. She fucking had an op-ed published in what, the Wall Street fucking Journal?
Sounds pretty privileged.
Please.
Like I said, I'd like to do that, but I can't because she's a tool. Anyway, speaking of people who are called tool, our president caught a lot of flack on his visit to California because he had a compliment for our Attorney General, Kamala Harris. I pronounced that right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I like to pronounce it like the Ugandan giant, Kamala, from the WWE.
I'm with you.
But that's horrifically disrespectful of me.
Well, a lot of people mispronounce it. But
what was his compliment? I totally missed this story.
Well, he said that she was the best-looking Attorney General. And that was the unfortunate comment that caught him a lot of flack. Let's go to ABC.
Turned out to the White House and President Obama raising eyebrows on two fronts with some surprising comments about California's Attorney General. But we are also learning about some dramatic moves he is about to make with his annual budget. ABC's Jonathan Carl is at the White House. And John, this is about cuts to Social Security and Medicare.
Last night, a close in Robin is a possible future presidential candidate. But at a fundraiser last night, a closed fundraiser, the president said of Harris, quote, she is brilliant and she is dedicated and she is tough. She also happens to be by far the best looking attorney general in the country.
Okay. So let's harken back to the last show with the obituary. He put her qualifications as a politician and a leader first, and then said she was good looking. So
if he'd said she'd made a great beef stroganoff, less of a problem
to know some of the sort of the history between them, if they're like two good friends.
They're friends.
Yeah,
she's a longtime supporter.
She
is beautiful.
I'm having trouble having a huge problem with it if it's...
God, you're sexist. I'm just kidding.
I can bring that out in any guy.
It falls under the same... To me, it falls under the same rubric as when... I had an ex-boyfriend used to get really mad when I would get mad at the random people on the street who were like, baby, why aren't you smiling? Because I'm supposed to walk around with a smile on my face the whole
worst.
Fucking time,
yeah.
Right?
That's annoying.
So,
just look at them and go, oh, my mom just died. And then when they show their stupid face, you say, just kidding, and you punch them in the nose.
Yeah, or the nose.
And then then you go, why aren't you smiling?
Yeah. Yes, a compliment is always nice and it's always good. However, two things. One, well, okay, I posted this on Facebook, which is the best reason I can give is just the way that it can make a person feel. Because mm-hmm. When I had just started my new job, first lawyering job, was at the annual conference for the organization that I worked for, which, I mean, law is already a male-dominated field, and I was working on behalf of cops, which is already also a very male-dominated field. So, growing up in California, pretty sheltered, haven't had a lot of sort of sexist encounters, but it's still there. And at various points during that conference, I was introduced to a group of clients as, we're lucky that we got Christiana because she's, the most attractive one on staff, which isn't necessarily even true. Kamala Harris is at least actually the most, she is probably is the most attractive attorney general, but it takes you, it puts the focus on your like physical appearance as a person, which is not the reason I'm there and not the reason I'm going to interact. And then the second more grievous and maybe further from this example, but I was in a room with, this was a while ago, this was pre-children, which in a, like, what is it, embedded or accepted sexism and anti-feminist thing makes me have to disclaim everything all in this story is saying it was a long time ago when my physical appearance more closely matched anything else that was being talked about by Obama. But I was told, I was in a room where the controller of the organization that I work for was going to take a picture of like clients having a meeting. And I stepped to the side because I'm staffed. It ain't my meeting. That's what you should do when your staff is, get out of the way. And he goes, oh no, get back in the picture. Your legs really add something. So I could have skipped the $250,000 in cumulative like payments for education that I've made and stuck with the $800 24-hour fitness membership and been just as useful to that organization. And that's why it's a problem, because it puts the, because it's different. It is different for women. It puts the focus back on physical appearances.
I agree it's a problem, and for the very reasons that you said, I think that it was the wrong thing to say. But I also think it's something that, kind of like how I felt about the Onion scandal. It's like if Obama were to say, yeah, I'm sorry, we're friends. Like,
which Onion scandal?
oh, I'm sorry. With the Academy Award.
Oh, okay. Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah. And they called the girl, can I say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They called the girl a cunt. And, but they're a satirical newspaper, and anyone who's not a normal reader of the Onion may not have gotten it, blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, it's one of those weird things where a friendship that's private and you have a good friendship and then you're interacting in a way that's more public. Mm-hmm. Mistakes like that happen. And I think it was something he should apologize for, but I also think, okay, Grady, apologize for it, move on. I don't think that it should be a very big scandal. I don't think it's a very big deal.
The other thing that I think adds to, if you're from, I don't know, Ted, you're from San Francisco. I don't know if you know more about Kamala Harris or if you've been living up here for more, but she, people focus on that a lot. She is beautiful. She is absolutely, like, objectively, she is lovely. It gets mentioned a lot. She also happens to be the ex-girlfriend of Willie Brown. So she gets a ton of shit about, you know, basically you got where you are because you're pretty and because you spent a lot of time fucking at one time the most politically powerful person in the state of California.
Right, so there's a history.
And I don't think either
too.
One of those things are true. Thank you for that. Yes.
Well, if you're going to talk about sex, I have to put some sexy music on.
But I
on
mean,
here.
You know, she deals with that shit all the time, and it really does. As there's an article on Nate's favorite must-read website that he goes to every morning, Jezebel.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There's a study that shows that discussing a female candidate's appearance results in negative attitudes in voters, and more negative if she is positively described. So if they say like she's super pretty, or even just neutral terms like she wore a Chanel suit.
Right. We talked about Hillary Clinton's pants suits all the time.
Right. People don't like it, and it's worse if you compliment her looks, and it's weird, and it shouldn't be that way.
What was really frustrating is that I mean I'm biased, but I think that you see more of that from the right. But then during our last gubernatorial race, all my friends on the left were constantly talking about Miss eBay, whatever her name was, Meg Whitman.
Meg Whitman.
Oh, she looks like an old sack and this and that. And I was just like, fuck you guys. Yeah. You can't call them out when they do it and then jump right in yourselves, you know. And even in my post complaining about it, I've got female friends of mine commenting, well, she does look like a sack. Yeah. I'm like, well, fuck you.
Well, I've often said that quite often women are far more critical and terrible about stuff like this toward other women than men are. Like it or not, it's true. I see a lot more venom like that. Yeah, of course there are sexist guys. Lots of them.
Well, I'd need to see some hard data before I'd agree to that.
Yeah, you don't have to come out and do that because you're pretty much in control of the world. You don't have to worry about it and fight about everything else.
That's
and
right,
I don't
Ted.
Know if that's true in the public sphere of people commenting on each other. Maybe that feels true in the personal, but
well, and who's voting though? That's what I'm saying is it comes out that's who's making the decisions, that's who's voting, that's who's going to the poll and going, okay, why don't we have a female governor? Why don't we have a female president? You are in the majority. I mean, if there were more Hispanics than any other group in the country, we would have a Hispanic president.
Well, that's not true. We have a black president right now, and there aren't more black people than any other group.
Well, he's half white, Keith. Come on.
And there's going to be more Hispanics pretty soon.
Eventually, yeah.
And I don't see
they're working hard at it every day. It's true.
I did. Now I'm stopping at one.
You're stopping at one? Okay. Well, yeah, and well, you should really go farther because your husband's British.
I know, it's true. I'm slowly breeding the Mexican out, which is sad. I'd rather not.
That's terrible.
My child sunburns even more than I do, which is terrible. And, you know, I feel like it's a shame upon my grandparents, but. But it's not, you can't just put the onus of everything on like, well, woman, bummer for you.
No.
So if you guys could vote more,
fix
we
it.
Do. It is a real problem, and it happens in every age cohort because, again, the things I like, my extracurriculars that I probably shouldn't bring in because it's a different thing. But
right.
The I work with a group of high school kids. It's 65% girls. It has been 10 years since they elected themselves a female youth leader of the program.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
why?
Exactly. Why? Why not just go, we're taking over? It's just, it's baffling to me.
Are they running to be leaders of the program as often?
They are. Not as many, but they usually don't get through to the final round. They don't win. I quiz, like, I have anecdotal evidence. I mean, I quiz my girls and they're hard on, I don't like her voice. I don't like this. I don't like that.
Wow.
Which is bad. And there, yeah. I mean, there are high school girls. There is way too much of like, mm-hmm. he's cute. But it's, but I mean, if we don't address this shit at that age, like, they're going to start voting soon and they haven't even seen themselves as leaders in their own program.
But haha, he's cute is
terrible.
An undeniably strong and stronger force every time in American politics. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but it works for men, but it works against women.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Hot dude. And again, like the aging thing that you're just talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody shies away from joking about Di-Fi or Nancy Pelosi doing whatever they can to try to look younger because if they age normally, like, ooh, scary.
I don't know if that's true, but we're never going to get a chance to find out because they're not. Because they don't have to. They've got the money. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, but they also can't.
Well, they can. Really, the Speaker of the House and a senator for how many terms now?
Minority leader.
Oh, sorry. She was a Speaker of the House, though.
She was for a brief, shining couple of years.
Damn it. Fell out. Anyway.
That doesn't mean they can do whatever they want. That means that they got there by playing the game the way the rules are set up to a great extent. I don't think that means they have some kind of amazing freedom or power.
Well, they obviously have more power because
they have
in
some
that
power
position.
And influence, but it doesn't mean that they can ignore all the rules that they followed to get there all of a sudden.
I don't know. Everybody else seems to. It's true.
No, not the attractiveness or dressing well rule.
What is going on? There's something else going on over here. What is going on? There's a sideshow going on.
I just realized that neither Ted nor I had said anything in a really long time, so I just looked and waved at him just to make sure we were both still online. Okay. You know, I don't
Ted's know what the Googler of the show, right?
Yeah, he's doing research.
He's got a Windows phone.
Well, Ted? What do you think about the compliment for Kamala Harris? Because I got the feeling you didn't think it was as big a deal.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when are we going to have a Jewish president? It's just ridiculous to me. Isn't it? I mean, why can't we have a Jewish president?
Well, the Jews are 2% of the American population, so why don't they just elect one?
That's a good question.
Well, because Michael Bloomberg is too busy counting his money and running New York.
Okay.
So there you go.
So
I know why.
The solution is, the answer is anti-Semitism.
Sure. Naturally, anti-Semitism is the answer to everything.
I would think any Jewish candidate would carry the South.
Well, if we want to go conspiracy theory on this, don't the Jews prefer to control the world secretly with their secret cabal of five bankers that control everything?
I'm trying to distract people from that, Keith. You're really not helping.
No, but seriously, atheists. But what's the bigger point there?
Of what I just said?
Yeah.
Oh, there is no point. I was just changing the subject. Kamala. Okay. Oh, what do I think about the president calling?
Do you need the button to say like?
No.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Well, I understand what you're saying, Christiana. In this one instance, I feel like Obama tries to be a sensitive person. I think he made a mistake. I think Keith is right that they probably are friends. It wasn't the best choice of words, but I don't know.
Well, it's one of those things where people want to be upset about something. And should he have said it in that setting? Probably not. Not politically correct, not politically expedient. And he apologized the next day.
He has apologized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think he should be pilloried for it.
But I think he's right to apologize.
I think he's right. Yeah. I wouldn't not vote for him because of that, but I'm glad to see that it's being called out and addressed as something that's like, seriously? This guy who's probably more enlightened than a lot of people, like, come on.
You know who else has apologized? The Russian man who was arrested late last month and charged with homicide after killing his friend by shoving a boot up his ass. Literally. According to local reports, Vladimir Krasnov has decided to make good on the oft-heard threat of following a drunken fight with his 48-year-old friend, Sergey, over his girlfriend, Yelena. It's always over a girl. Police say that he waited until his friend passed out and then proceeded to insert his right foot into the victim's anus and rectum. Sergey suffered...
Rectum? Apparently
it
killed him.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
It's not funny at all. But Sergey suffered some severe internal bleeding as a result and eventually died at the scene. Krasnov was subsequently arrested and now faces up to 15 years behind bars. He said... All I can say is I regret it. Nothing like this would happen if I were sober.
More vodka for all.
His girlfriend, Yelena, concurred, it's just alcohol.
Relax. Why does everybody make such a big deal out of it? He apologized.
With Sergey, it was just hello and goodbye, she said. So,
why is it these stories of man-on-man violence over a woman just seem to be happening more and more lately.
Call back to the last show.
So weird, right?
I'd like to refer back to the last story we discussed and say that I feel exactly the same about this one. I mean, should he have apologized? Yes. But it's not like it was a big deal. Because they were friends, right? Didn't it mention they were friends?
They were very close friends.
So this is something between friends.
So, Christiana,
I'm sure if his friend was alive, he'd forgive him.
Yeah, you'll still vote for him, right, Christiana?
Totally. Definitely. Definitely.
Ted, where do you come down on this foot in the ass thing?
I'm against sticking anything in anyone's butt without their permission. And even then, you should be careful what
lube.
You're doing.
Use lube. Didn't we learn that from sex ed? Like, use, come on.
Well, I don't know.
No,
how did,
we
he,
didn't.
Did he, like, wiggle it in? Like, did he just kick really
how
hard?
Old
how did
are
that
you?
Even happen? What?
How old are you?
Oh, by sex ed, I mean, like, listening to Love Line a lot.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did sex ed get a lot better? Because they did not mention lube in ours.
No. Though we did have to put, like, condoms on things. We did, like, unroll a condom on our hands. And,
oh,
like,
my goodness. So my wife made my nephew.
What?
My wife made my nephew prove that he could put a condom on a banana. Because she had heard that he was being sexually active. Which I think he was just lying to a friend and she overheard him.
But, normally, yeah.
Yeah, this poor kid had to sit there and put a condom on a banana in front of his aunt, which is humiliating.
Oh, my God.
And he kept getting it wrong and having to start over, and the banana started getting all brown and soft. And I leaned over and I was like, don't worry about it, little buddy. That happens to everybody.
Yeah, it does.
It's totally natural.
Oh, man. Scared straight.
Could it be just anywhere, or did he have to, like, hold it down between his legs so it was more, like, accurate and real?
No, she didn't go that far.
Oh, okay.
She make him do it in, like, a dark room.
All right. Like, give him a few drinks first.
My parents are going to be home in 20 minutes. Quick.
She made him drink a couple shots.
Kind of say that in this article, there's a link. It says, into the victim's anus and rectum, and there's a hyperlink, and it goes to a Russian website with a video. Like a live journal. So I don't know. It just kind of scares me. I just.
Well, then don't go there.
But I just. Okay. I won't go there. Thanks. Thanks for steering me clear of that.
It scares me. Well, then don't do that.
Okay.
It's okay.
That's
the
never
point being
my
that
response.
What, I just. Yeah. Never mind. I won't explain
so
what I
meant. Do you think that this guy, like, live blogged about it?
From prison.
I don't know.
Hey,
it's time for Florida Corner. It's my favorite part of the show. Yeah.
CCR.
It's Florida Corner. From Hernando, Florida, an argument ended when a Florida man began cutting the hair of the victim. Investigators say 20-year-old Mark Thomas was in a verbal disagreement with the mother of his child. These stories always start with the mother of his child or something of that nature. During the argument, he allegedly grabbed the victim by her hair and began to cut it with a pair of scissors. According to reports, he admitted to cutting the victim's hair out of spite. He was arrested on one count of domestic battery and taken to the Hernando County Jail.
That's actually a typo. He cut her hair because they were out of Sprite.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always bad.
She was like, honey, we have 7-Up. He's like, 7-Up! And he became enraged and he chopped off her hair.
In fairness, that sounds exactly like a story that would be in Florida Corner. Like the Sprite, the domestic dispute over Sprite. Totally legit.
The last time would be like, police are looking into whether substance abuse and alcohol was a factor.
Right.
And 7-Up really isn't a suitable substitute.
It's not. It's its own thing and it's not the same
as
Sprite.
It's too lemony now. It's too lemony.
The Florida woman story, buttocks-bearing woman jailed after papaya attack in Vero Beach. That's right. A Florida woman is accused of throwing papayas at the neighbors and dropping her pants to expose something that none of us wanted to see. She was thrown in jail, and it's according to a recent arrest report.
What do they mean none of us wanted to see?
I don't know. Look, it's a Florida reporter, too. I can't help that.
They've seen it all, so God, boggles the mind.
Vero Beach police were called to a disturbance, and officers were met by Suzanne, I can't pronounce her middle name, Wasden, whose pants were partially down and whose derriere was partially exposed. She's 49, said an ex-boyfriend came to her home looking for birthday sex. She was described as very intoxicated.
Something none of us wanted to see. Maybe she tried showing them the Star Wars prequels.
It could be.
Well, I got a Phantom Menace for you.
Meanwhile, a 16-year-old boy who lives next door came to his trailer seeking a cigarette and beer. Wasden began screaming and yelling. The teen told police the ex-boyfriend tried to calm Wasden down, but she attacked the ex-boyfriend, pushed him into the glass, cutting his arm, and started throwing papayas at them. The teen said that she turned around and lowered her jeans below her hindquarters and said, "Kiss my butt." The teen said he could see, and I quote, "everything." And that was something that none of us wanted to see. So it was the teenager.
They cleared it up.
The teenager did not want to see the 49-year-old lady's butt. So there you go. Obviously, no one related to you.
Yeah.
Question, is there a surplus of papayas in Florida? Because here they're like $4 each, and
it
I
is
can't
tropical.
Imagine throwing papayas right. like that. Like,
it is tropical, right?
Yeah. She was drunk, so there is that.
Next, she started throwing diamond rings at him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait, keep going.
Gold bullion. It was a terrible day in Florida.
That would hurt.
Hey, I want to take a moment to plug our guest, Keith Lowell Jensen. His album, Elf Orgy, available now on Amazon and iTunes. Go through NateDarlingShow.com to buy it on Amazon if you
Nate,
would.
Nate, I never thought I'd be so happy about you plugging me. Can I tell you guys a cute papaya story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we're in the co-op and Max wanted to try papaya. She never had papaya. And I said, honey, we can't sample. And then the lady behind us working at the co-op said, no, it's okay. You can have a sample. So I gave her a sample. That's the story the way I tell it. When we get in the car, I got to hear Max's version, which was, mommy, daddy tried to say no, but a lady caught him.
Oh, no.
And we should explain to the people that Max is your daughter.
Yes, Max, my little girl. Okay. Sorry, I should have made that clear.
That's okay. We know, but it's the magic of podcasts. Not everybody knows. And how old is she now?
She's 3.
Okay. So
it's a magical age.
She's precocious, as it were.
She started talking at 1. She's crazy precocious.
Wow.
When a kid talks at 1, you get to hear the weird shit that a 1-year-old thinks, because normally that world is hidden from us. And, they say some odd things.
I think I started...
Don't leave that dangling.
But you see, I have great taste in socks. And one day she was looking at my wild socks, and I said, oh, your mommy gave me these. And then when I left, she said, mommy, can I hold the quartz? And she's like, 1, in her high chair. And so my wife gives her this little piece of quartz that we have in the kitchen. And Max says, I wish the quartz had a mouth so that it could say, wow, mommy gave daddy those socks. That's the kind of odd Dylan-esque. And then a few months after that, I came out to breakfast and she told me, daddy, I wish I had tongues on the bottom of my feet. So I could kick things and taste them. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Man.
That's
you want to stick your foot in someone's butt if you could taste
you have
feet.
That foot in the butt thing would never have happened if there were tongues on the bottom of the feet.
Did your kid ever wake up and just, you can tell she's just continuing the conversation she was having in her sleep?
Yeah, that's an
interesting
thing.
This morning it was
thing.
Like, she woke up, just like rolled over, looked me in the face and goes, but mommy, I mean... why a library? It's like, I don't know.
She just picked up where she left off.
Why? Yeah.
Max once woke up and said, mommy, how come I can't have the thing that I want?
Oh. I wake up every morning and wonder that.
Like a major life question.
Right. And my wife said, well, what is the thing that you want? And she said, a vegan chocolate cake shaped like a bunny. And she turned over and went right back to sleep.
Wow.
That can happen.
I relate to that. Wow.
Dreams can come true.
I just woke up at 3:00 in the morning because Johnny Taylor, who I was sharing a king-size bed with on tour, was snoring. And I get out of bed, and I go walk into the bathroom. And without waking up, mid-snore, Johnny Taylor opens his eyes, looks at me, and goes, faggot! Goes back to snoring.
Wow.
And I asked him in the morning if he remembered it, and he said no. I was like, you used hate speech in your sleep.
There are some places that will get you indicted. It's true. Yeah, that's craziness.
That's pretty funny. And the thing is, we put a pillow between us, and I never touched him,
sure.
I swear.
No hobo.
By the way, if you'd like to carry the show on your radio station, go ahead and email me, nate@natedarlingshow.com, and we promise to edit out all the yelling of the word faggot.
P-Flag, you can send your concerns to natedarlingshow.com.
I don't recognize P-Flag. I don't.
Parents and friends of lesbian and gay.
Yeah, I still don't recognize them. It's like a person I haven't seen since elementary school.
Like if you ran into them in the mall, you'd be like, P-Flag?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's nice. Okay.
Did you drop a stripe?
Carry on. Whatever. Now, I wanted to get your opinion on this, ladies. Men wear kilts to clean windows and gutters. It's a Massachusetts business called Men in Kilts. It offers customers window washing, pressure washing, and gutter cleaning by men dressed in traditional Scottish garb. Shane Ross of Holliston, Massachusetts, he has the business. It's a franchise spun off from the original Men in Kilts service, which is in Vancouver, BC, which doesn't surprise me, said the response has been positive. I get a good thumbs up from everybody. They like it. They like the idea of the kilt, he said. He also said he isn't bothered by working in a kilt. Nope, I'm Scottish, so I don't mind it at all, paying tribute to my heritage. Judy Briggs, who is a franchise owner as well, said the men do a lot of climbing in their kilts, but they remind customers of the no peeking rule. We did a photo shoot last week in Boston. My son was on the second floor, and the women were walking down the street, and instead of going around the ladder, they'd go under the ladder, and he just politely said, no peeking. So... Becca, what do you think of this men in kilts on ladders?
I'm just kind of baffled. Like, the whole time I was like, is it supposed to be sexy? I guess not, because there's no peeking, in which case is that really the most efficient outfit to wear for this kind of
work? Oh, it is supposed to be sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, strip clubs say no touching. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Naughty, naughty.
I mean, I think it's kind of awesome, because they've always had, like, bikini house cleaners
and stuff. I think I'd
look damn good in a kilt when I say that.
I think men look good in kilts. I like that, but I think I'd feel really weird hiring.
Remember,
someone
Ted, if you're gonna buy a kilt, do it through natedarlingshow.com.
Ooh, Ted, are you gonna buy a kilt?
I may.
Oh wow, whoa. Did you hear that?
Whoa, yeah. sexy radio voice.
Christiana, you take this one. I'm a little baffled by the kilt.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Since I'm so against the naked bikini lady coffee people, we may or not talk about. Yes, no.
No, we're not going to talk about them today.
Well, if there were such a story, I'd be against those too. Then I have to also be against this. But I would hire a men in tights if it was a Mel Brooks tribute
themed
house gutter cleaning service.
Your gutter wouldn't get clean, but it'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I
imagine a whole musical review number in my driveway.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is they know women are going to peek, because women can't resist the sight of a naked dong. It's just a cheeky sort of nod thing.
Did you see Christine Schaal on The Daily Show explaining why men send out pictures of their penises?
No.
Why?
Because they suffer from the delusion that women want to see that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So, teenage guys, if you're listening, and I know you're not, they don't want to see a picture of it.
They don't.
In person, don't. Maybe?
Nate and I do, however, want to see that. Wait, we're talking about teenage guys. It's illegal. Never mind.
Yeah.
19-year-old guys.
Send those to Keith Lowell Jensen at his website, rockass.net. There you go. I got a plug in for your website, too.
Very good.
I had to clear my throat for that one. Sorry.
Let me clear my throat.
Well, we found an undercover cop who really enjoys his job. In the course of an undercover operation targeting a suspected prostitute, a Pennsylvania police officer disrobed, allowed the woman to place a condom on him, and then engaged in sexual activity before announcing that the cops were coming.
Isn't that entrapment?
According to the criminal complaint, Officer Gross placed an ad on Backpage.com.
I love when they're appropriately named.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the officer. That's the alleged prostitute. Diana Gross. She's 26. She placed an ad on Backpage.com offering her services as an escort. By the end of your session with me, Your once wished fantasy will no longer just be dreams.
Vegan chocolate cake fake shaped like an Easter bunny?
But finally, your reality.
Yeah.
I got it, Ted.
That's what the ad promised. She has a sultry photo that goes along with it. Christiana, would you say that's sultry?
It's as sultry as you'd expect a Craigslist type picture of somebody to. Yeah. It's not sultry.
So,
my older woman fetish just went away.
She's 26.
Oh my God. And it's back.
As detailed by Detective Ronald DePellegrin of the Homestead Police Department, he called the number and arranged a $145 half hour session with Gross, who uses the alias Becky Diamond.
What?
Spelled D-Y-M-O-N.
That's sexier than Gross, I guess.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Becky Gross.
He added at Gross's request that he purchased baby wipes and condoms before meeting her at an apartment outside
wipes.
Of Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Yeah. After entering a bedroom, the 48-year-old DePellegrin reported, Becky asked me if I was a cop. I told her no and asked if she was one. She told me no. He then added that Becky then removed her shirt, exposing her breasts, and instructed me to touch her, which he apparently did. She then asked me if she could grab me. At this point, she grabbed my groin. He watched as Becky got totally undressed. After being directed to do the same, the cop then disrobed as Becky took a condom out and placed it on him. By this point, people might say, well, he had clearly established probable cause that she was engaged in prostitution and illegal acts, but he decided to continue. The report goes on. Becky started to perform oral sex on me and I said, oh shit, the cops are coming. Becky stopped performing the act and looked out the window. With a break in the action, he removed the condom, quickly dressed, and announced that he was a detective.
Imagine it's like, oh my God, that mouth came out of nowhere.
Did he forget he was a cop?
Well, you know, when the blood's flowing away from
heat
your brain,
the passion, yeah.
Things happen, you don't know.
You had to be really sure.
This actually makes me wonder if this doesn't happen more than we think it does.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah. Anyone else seen Bad Lieutenant?
Oh, yeah.
I think when he said the cops are coming, he meant himself, too.
Ooh, good point. Very good point.
Because he was coming.
I
worked on two levels.
Sexually, from his penis.
Okay, like, sure you mean he was ejaculating?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, that's an interesting angle, Ted.
Yeah. Just want to put that out there.
So here's the actual ad.
Because he was having sex.
VIP service, gorgeous Barbie, classy provider, number requested playmate, 24. Fully independent, completely naughty and sweet, open-minded and very responsive. This is...
I missed the transition. Is Nate just reading his favorite Craigslist ads?
I am. Voluptuous, soft curves, and oh so sexy. Come play with Becky Diamond. This is just the beginning.
Oh, this is her ad.
Simply unforgettable. By the end of your session with me, your once-wished fantasy will no longer be dreams, but finally a reality. Non-rushed full sessions. Well, of course, you're charging by the hour.
I think Robert Palmer wrote her ad.
Oh, he's dead. That's
simply
poor.
Irresistible.
Really?
She's Robert, so fine.
Yeah.
Robert Palmer's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry to break it to you, Christine.
You didn't hear?
I didn't handle that on a day when we lost Margaret Thatcher, Odette Fincello, and Lily Pulitzer.
You're not really missing Margaret Thatcher, are you?
I'm not.
Yeah, let's talk about Margaret Thatcher real quick before we get to Small Town News and wrap up the show.
Oh, she gave us punk rock. I love her. Her and Ronald Reagan both.
So Margaret Thatcher dies. Suddenly, the tributes come out. She was the first female and only female prime minister of Great Britain. She did lots of great things as a leader. Some would argue. Others would say she was a union-busting, horrible person.
Yeah, she killed England. She's awful.
England's still cool.
It still works out. So
England's fucked.
Trains suck.
They're
but
in
it's
worse
so cool.
shape than we are.
And their gas is expensive.
Have such good tea.
So
hey, Morrissey doesn't like her, and that's good enough for me.
Morrissey
the more
doesn't.
You ignore that guy. It's like he's right here.
Morrissey.
He's still alive.
This is his song. Right?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. The last time I heard anything from Morrissey was when
that
he
was his song, right? You guys. The more you ignore me, the closer I get. Anybody?
No.
Whose song was that?
That
God
sounds like it would be him, but I don't know that one.
My phone's out of juice, so I can't be Google Boy right now.
That's okay.
I'm going to figure this out.
No, I think that is him, and I think that was even Smith's era.
But
like the only one I like. I thought I was gonna be cool in front of the Morrissey fans.
You did. You outcooled us.
God damn you guys.
I'm not a Morrissey fan.
I'm not a Morrissey fan.
I just went and saw him last month. It was amazing. And it was so funny because my dad took me. My dad's like, what do you want for your birthday? To go see Morrissey? And me and my dad go to concerts all the time. So my dad's really enjoying the concert. He didn't really know Morrissey. He was enjoying it. At the end of the concert, all these people are rushing the stage, kissing him, hugging him. Security's trying to throw them off, but they're rushing the stage faster than they could be thrown away. And my dad's laughing, going, oh, they really love him, this and that. And then all of a sudden out of the blue, my dad goes, oh, hey, are those mostly dudes? And I was like, yeah, Dad. And just then did it dawn on him what I had taken him into.
Yeah, well,
seedy world.
The last time anybody mainstream heard of Morrissey, he was supposed to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he canceled because he refused to do the show the same night that the guys from Duck Dynasty were on.
Right, because he's a vegan.
Because he's a vegan, and they hunt ducks. And
which I think is totally respectable and was shitty booking on the part of Kimmel, who may have been engineering that on purpose.
It's entirely possible, but I wouldn't put it past him. But
I'm going to have the Pope on. What's Sinead O'Connor doing? You know, I mean, it's just stupid.
Well, that Pope's dead. I mean,
it's not like he was ever subtle about his veganism.
No, that's fine, but it also the
they named an album "Meat Is Murder." Who books them all along with the who books him with the Duck Hunter? I mean, that's just stupid.
The other thing with Kimmel is the musical guest is normally outside on the outdoor stage if they can get enough people to show up to see them. So you never actually run into them at all.
Yeah, but it's still I wouldn't have done it.
Well, then wasn't it a bad move on Morrissey to show up and just go? I just think it's bull. I mean, if you're going to schedule a booking, fulfill your booking. Don't just get all pompous and dicky about stuff.
He could use it as
he's Morrissey. I mean,
that's his M.O.
Pompous and dicky's his thing.
That's his M.O. Rissy. So getting back to Margaret Thatcher, Becca, what are your thoughts on Margaret Thatcher, if you have any, as a lady?
As a lady.
I feel there's more than one lady now. Is it like a lady competition?
Well, you're busy,
right? You're busy lady proving comedians.
You're busy proving your Morrissey knowledge.
Lady
so,
comedians.
Becca, how do you feel about Thatcher?
Oh, well, I don't think I would have agreed with her politically. The movie that Meryl Streep made was quite nice.
Okay, that's fine. And you on Margaret Thatcher, same thing.
Glad that.
She's dead?
No, I'm not
ding
glad
dong,
dead.
Witch is dead. Witch is dead. The wicked
I'm not glad
witch.
She's
she
dead.
Can't hurt you anymore.
But it's good to have a female role model, but it's not like I would have voted for her any more than I would have voted for Sarah Palin. She's still much better than Sarah Palin, but it's not just about...
How so?
It's not just about having like a woman leader. Dead. It doesn't count if that woman doesn't count herself as a feminist or care about equality or do things to help the working class and wants to make everybody capitalist and privatizes crap. And
so your hypothesis is women can only be good as politicians and leaders if they agree with your policy?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But if we disagree on policy proposals, that's one thing. If we disagree on basic issues of equality, forget whether it's a woman or not a woman, I'm not going to think that's a person who deserves
right
to hold elected office.
That was such a weird thing to say, Nate. Wouldn't your very definition of if someone is good have to do with how much you agree with them on policy? I mean, isn't that what would make anyone male or female good or not good? Would be if you think that their policies are good or not good?
Not necessarily.
They may be like
so if it's a woman, then other women are supposed to say, oh, well, it's okay, they're a woman, no matter what they... That made no sense to me at all.
Like. I was just postulating the question. That have you never?
It was an absurd question.
Exactly.
Would you think I would vote for Sarah Palin just because she's
no
a woman and I tend to
not
be
not at all?
I think some people who nominated her for vice president thought that you would.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just like at the end of both of Obama's last two State of the Union addresses, the GOP is like, oh, we've lost the minority vote. Let's put a minority person up to explain our anti-minority
right
policies, and that'll get us back the minority vote. It's like, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah, let me just pull back the curtain here for just a moment on the question that you thought was stupid. The whole idea of asking...
I said absurd, not stupid.
Oh,
but
way.
I meant stupid.
Exactly. The whole idea is to get a further explanation and create conflict, because that's what we do here.
Conflict. You were baiting.
I was, exactly.
But not masterfully.
No.
Oh, I see. You're 100% right. I just want to say that I feel it's, I don't like it when someone passes away and like the same day everyone has to start hating on them. I think you should give them at least a day of respect and let the people who did respect that person to just mourn a bit, but maybe that's just me.
I don't hate
I'm not
on
saying
her.
You I'm not talking about you, Christina.
I haven't seen that much of hate on her. I've seen I'm sure there's some, but I've seen probably just more of a layout of this is what she did. She was sometimes controversial. She was friends with Reagan. Like this,
yeah.
Is because I think there's a lot of for most people that are contemporaries, she was there. There was an article that I read in the paper the other day about how, you know, right now, like the Republican Party especially likes to look to the Reagan era as like, ooh, the Reagan era. But it's too recent in time to be the focus of a lot of political science classes, mm-hmm. but too long ago for any of us who are the people who are in power and voting for the most part now are coming up through the ranks to really like remember what went on then.
Oh, it was shitty.
So really like Margaret Thatcher for the most part was the first female prime minister of Britain and she's lady leader and that's cool.
All you got to do but is read V for Vendetta to know she's...
right.
I get
exactly.
All my political information from comic book.
Yeah.
Can I touch on something, Ted?
Yeah.
Okay, so you talked about this sort of period of respect after someone dies, and I'm wondering how far does that extend? Would that extend to, say, Pinochet, or I know Hitler's the obvious example everyone grabs, but he's a handy thing for just the embodiment of evil. You know, I mean, like how wicked of a son of a bitch or daughter of how wicked of a person would someone have to be in order to say, I'm not going to give them that day of respect? Because fuck her. She ruined people's lives. And I can't, like, I don't know. I said shit about her yesterday, and I'm not going to stop today because she's dead.
Do what you
Holy
want, Keith.
Holy crap, dude.
I think, you know, when I've seen people pass away that, you know, that other people may not care about, and you're like, oh, this, fuck this guy. They're stupid. They're idiots. You know, I don't have a formula for you. So I wasn't calling you out specifically, Keith, but...
No. I didn't think you were, and I'm not meaning to be a dick. I thought a little fighting would be fun. Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah.
He's baiting.
But are
Masterfully.
There... But are there people where you would make an exception to that rule for?
Where I would make an exception for that rule?
Yeah.
I guess.
Is there somewhere where the day that they died, you'd say good riddance? Anyone?
Where I would say that personally? I think, yeah, Hitler would be...
He'd be
a good example. But, you know, I just don't think it's... I don't know. Celebrating the fact that someone died, I think, is disrespectful in general.
No, I'm not celebrating the fact she died. I'm just still saying she's an awful person.
I cheered like a motherfucker when they killed Bin Laden. I was happy. I was thrilled.
I wasn't.
I was thrilled.
Not
so there you
I
go.
Wanted him to, not because I wanted him to live a long and happy life, but... You know, if you take a bunch of there's this town had a big starfish problem. They took the starfish out and then they cut them all up in little pieces and thought they took care of the problem.
Right.
Do you know what you get? Fuck ton more starfish.
But the other thing is, I'm not saying that I'm like, you know, oh yay, she died or whatever. I mean, hell, she got to live to a pretty ripe old age. I'm just not going to all of a sudden
revive
have any
history.
Kind of respect for her that yeah. I didn't have. You know, a day ago.
I don't think anyone should say, oh, I honor and respect her, but just, I don't know.
Give the people that loved her a chance to grieve?
Maybe.
Well, I think
that makes sense.
I think what you're trying to say, and not that you need my defense or anything, but what I'm sort of hearing is something along the lines of have the humanity that that person didn't have. Be the better person.
Oh, that's nice.
Something like it. Wow, that's very well said.
Thanks.
I mean, she was a respected person. She, there were, you know, you don't
you
have to admire
so
her.
You seem so surprised.
You don't have to like her. But and yeah, I think you're dehumanizing someone. It just, you know, it's just so black and white when people jump out and say, oh, she's a horrible human being, so fuck her, I'm glad she's dead. But I don't know. Yeah.
But you know, if the Munchkins did not sing Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, that scene in Wizard of Oz would not have been as lively and memorable.
Not at all.
Well, she was
what's
like,
the
funny
Nate
though,
Darling
that,
Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Well, small town news.
Small town news.
We've been beat by small town.
Yeah,
towns,
we'll be here all night we're arguing done. About that.
But she was the Hitler of
That's
Oz.
That's the point. We have endless time. This is not radio. God damn it.
We do, but people need to go home.
Somebody
and
damn it.
Ding Dong Hurrah is a disturbing song when you watch it with a 3-year-old. That's all I wanted to say.
No,
you know,
I
and it's her
see
favorite
that.
Movie. It's like that. Celebrating the witch's death scene is creepy.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's mm-hmm. my favorite movie.
More
too.
So if it happened in a small town.
It's true. Small town news from Maine this time. Wilton, Maine, to be more precise. A local man, because one from out of town would be weird, a local man is accused of stealing items from a residence he was living at and then selling them. One of the items was a riding lawnmower. Riding, by the way, is spelled R-I-D-E-I-N-G. Which he traded for a down payment on a 2013 Ford Mustang convertible at a Waterville dealership. The dealership returned the lawnmower once it learned that it was stolen. Sergeant Chad Abbott arrested Richard Irish of Wilton on the charge of felony theft. A conviction on the charge carries up to 5 years in prison. Police received information that Irish had stolen items from the residence, and then Abbott launched an investigation. Other items stolen included a four-wheeler, which was sold but recovered, a leaf blower, and a weed whacker, which are also taken and recovered. Abbott is continuing his investigation due to more items being missing. Irish was released on $1,500 unsecured bail, scheduled to appear May 15th in Farmington Court. And you're asking yourself, why is this small-town news? Because if it's in a large place, nothing stolen is ever recovered.
Right.
If someone steals your weed whacker, it's fucking gone.
Oh, the cops don't give a shit.
Exactly. File your report online. We'll put it in the crime stats and call it a day. So that's why it's small town news. Not because it's unusual, but because they actually got the stuff back.
And they wrote an article about it.
And they misspelled writing.
That's because they can't afford copy.
Are you sure that it wasn't? Because Redang is actually a brand of ride-on lawnmower.
It's not capitalized, so no.
You made that up, didn't you?
Okay, you're assuming a typo in One Direction. It could have been a...
Typo,
never mind. I'm going to let it go.
Capitalization typo. I see what you're saying.
A capitalization typo. So that would be it.
It's one of those companies that render their name with no capitalization.
Like E.E. Cummings.
Exactly.
Incorporated.
Or iTunes that puts eBay. It in a weird place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cockmasters. So, Keith, you in addition to many other places, you will be at Reason Fest on 420. Why will you be celebrating Hitler's birthday there?
Was Hitler born on Earth Day? Is that a fact?
It is a fact.
Wow.
That is Hitler's birthday.
I do like to point out that Hitler was not an atheist. That just seems like a good moment to point that. People always try to pin him on us.
Was he a Christian or did he have his own kind of brand of...
Well, I would say that he was pretty opportunistic, but he claimed Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was quite cozy with the Catholic Church as well.
Yep.
He claimed it in the name of Spain, which was really odd. No, but Reason Fest, going back to that.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Reason Fest, which is a large free atheist gathering. They don't charge people to get there. And I performed there last year, and it was just incredibly fun. I had a really good time, met a lot of people that I've since become really good friends with.
And where is Reason Fest?
It's in Lawrence, Kansas. And so when you get called to go to places like Lawrence, Kansas or Springfield, Missouri, I've also done, to be an atheist, you're skeptical.
You start to doubt things as an atheist?
Yes, but I made a few calls to a few other prominent atheists who said, it's legit.
Cool. So if you want to find out where Keith is performing, you can go to his website, rockass.net. That's pretty much the only one, right?
Yeah. It's also okay. keitholjensen.blogspot.com if you like typing.
Exactly.
There's a calendar in the right-hand column.
And there will be a link in the show description for this show, so you can find that. You can get his new album, Elf Orgy, on iTunes and Amazon. And if you're going to do it on Amazon, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click through the Shop Amazon tab and do it that way because it helps out the show and helps out Keith.
And I will point out, Amazon now has the actual physical CD or...
The download.
Or MP3, yeah. You can do it either way at Amazon.
Perfect. So either way you want to do it.
You know, I have two other albums out, too. They're both on there.
Cool. Well, what are the names of those?
Cats Made of Rabbits is the second album I did, and then To the Moon is the first album.
Excellent. And this is the funny thing is this is Keith's second time on the show. But the first time, we recorded the whole show, and then the computer sort of went kerflooey, and we lost the whole thing. And that was the last show that I ever tried to record on GarageBand.
I did so much better of a job then. I didn't pick fights with any of the hosts. It was incredible. Everything about it, I was charming and funny.
Well, I think it was because you were at home and you didn't want to wake your daughter.
That was part
of
it.
I think that was part of it, too.
Better.
So thank you again for coming in. We appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And check out Keith's stuff. We played the one short clip. There's a lot of really great stuff on there. And I guarantee that if you like thoughtful, provocative comedy, that you'll enjoy Keith's stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Well, so there you go. That's going to do it for the show this week, your Friday episode. Everybody have a great weekend. I will have stories from a trip to Southern California on the next time up.
Boo.
So it's going to be fun. Sorry.
Southern California.
I know.
You go and you have fun.
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to watch
it.
Baseball
it's
and
fantastic.
Do stuff and... hang out and see people and do stuff and all that jazz.
I'm supposed to be being a baseball fan right now, but I'm failing at it.
Okay.
Go team.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It's really boring. The games are long. Except in person, they're awesome. But on TV, forget it.
Well, either way. So anyway, we have a new show for you. Actually, two new ones next week, Wednesday and Friday. Have a great weekend. We will see you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sipping on Southern and singing Marsha Tucker, we were falling in love in the sweetheart of summer. She hopped right up into the cab of my truck and said, "Fire it up, let's go get this thing stuck." Show you what the fast life. Whipping across the border, Florida into Georgia.